You know, Independence Day is one of those holidays that's about sort of unity. It's about kind of taking a little historical reflection, if you will. And it's about celebrating our freedom. And for us, it was freedom from the British monarch. You know, we were celebrating our. It's interesting now because we spend a lot of time now talking about the president as if he's actually a monarch, but he's not. We actually got freedom from a monarch, and that beautiful thing. And many nations in the world actually celebrate something like this. Maybe not an Independence Day, but it's a day where they celebrate their country. It's a day where everyone comes together, and it serves as a day of national pride, a day of historical reflection. Even if it's not an Independence Day, it's a day where we all come together and we say, we're grateful to be from whatever nation you might be from. Our Independence Day is a day supposedly of bringing people together. But it depends on how you feel about togetherness or about this nation, and maybe how you feel about whoever's in office at the moment. But it's supposed to be a time of unity. It's supposed to be a time of unity, and who more cares more about unity than Jesus? God cares so much about unity. He cares about bringing people together, not celebrating one nation, but celebrating what? All nations. God cares about bringing all people together, unifying us in a way that the world would never be able to accomplish. That is what God's kingdom is supposed to be all about. We are also today celebrating a very significant moment in our community journey together. Last week, we collected our special missions contribution, and our goal was $150,000. And I thought it was a bold goal for us. It's the most that we've set a goal to collect. And it's the highest number we decided we would collect. Well, we ended up raising $155,000 for special missions. I'm so grateful for the amount of money we raised and for everyone that pitched in. Wow. I feel your unity. I was on the phone last night with the brother from Liberia. His name is Darius King, who leads the church there, he and his wife. And I said, hey, bro, we hit our special missions. We'll be sending dollars to Liberia after. He was so fired up. He's like, bro, this is such good news. It was about 10:30. I called him up. I said, bro, did I wake you? He goes, no, it's good to hear from you. He says, I'm just finishing up some stuff for my sermon. And he went and got his wife. And I said, bro, we did it. We raised the money for special missions. We'll be sending money out to you soon. He was so fired up because he wants me to come visit really badly. And I said, okay, I'm going to try to make that happen. I don't know when I'm going to be able to do that, but I'm going to try to get over to Liberia, Africa, because they don't just want our money. They want to be bonded with us. And I'm going to try to bring he and his wife over here as well. But man, what a great moment of unity, solidarity with our brothers and sisters in Liberia, Africa. And that's because of your giving. We gave to Eurasia Missions, and of course I haven't talked to anyone from there, but I know they're going to be equally fired up to hear that we raised money for special missions. And then of course we raised money for the Heartland Fund as well, and man, the work in Nebraska, all the work we're doing around our region, so special, huge blessing.
Amen.
However, I want to address an observation. Back in January, you may remember, we talked about our offering, our contribution. And I observed, I had our administration team look, and we observed that, hey, only about 50% of our people are participating in special missions. In fact, only about 50% of our people were giving consistently, even to weekly. We had another percentage of people that are somewhat inconsistent. And then we have a chunk of people that don't give at all, no giving history at all, don't give to the church. And we talked about this, and we didn't really hammer on this or drill down on this. And so after our special missions, I was very excited that we hit our goal. So I asked the team, I said, hey, really eager to know, how was our participation for missions? And I asked, really thinking, wow, I'm sure it went up because we mentioned this in January. But this proves that you're not really listening to anything I say. I don't think... Unfortunately, we are only at about 53% of people that participated in special missions this year. Now, I praise God we hit our goal. But if I'm honest, I would rather have not hit the goal and had 100% participation. Amen. Not one penny of that money goes in my pocket. It doesn't stay here. It's all going out anyway. But I really wish we all had participated. And I know there's people that say, bro, you're never going to get everyone on board. Look, I got this crazy dream that everyone's going to be on board. Amen. Like, I have a crazy dream that everyone in here is going to get to heaven. Call me crazy. I want everyone in here to go to heaven. Like, but not everyone's going to go to heaven. Well, then pick who's not going. I don't know what to tell you, you know? I really want everyone to go to heaven. I really want us all to participate. It's crazy. I'm never going to give up that dream. I'll be leaving here, limping off the stage going, but I will really want everybody to be on board. We did extend special missions through the end of July on a recommendation that perhaps some of us weren't out of town. We just weren't able to give. Who knows what happened? But honestly, to me, really, with missions, we really don't have a multiple. Like, you need to give this amount or that amount. I think everyone could give something.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Like, one brother gave $15. I'm like, amen, praise God. But nothing? Zero? I go, man, are we really unified on the mission? Are we really together as a family? And I think about the things we want to do. We really want to reach this city. We really want to reach out to the lost. We want to do so many things together. And listen, this doesn't mean that, you know, this doesn't tell the whole story. But something like this can give us a little sense of, man, are we really unified? Are we really together as a family of believers? And so my goal is that by the time I'm done leading this church, which I don't know when that's going to be. That could be next year. It could be 5 years from now. It could be 10 years. I don't know. It depends on how long you're willing to tolerate me. Amen.
I'm not going nowhere.
Well, I'm not in charge of that. The Lord is. Amen. I don't plan to go anywhere. Amen.
All right.
But by the time I'm done, we will all be on board with sharing our faith, with praying to God, with worshiping together, with showing up to Sunday mornings, with coming to midweeks, with being a part of our family groups. We will be unified as a body of believers that gives glory to God. And so today, I want to talk about unity in a sense, but honestly, in our Declaration of Independence, it says that we were established as a nation of individuals. And that individual rugged individualism is part of our DNA in ways that we perhaps don't know. And I want to talk about overcoming that individual thing inside of us that maybe sometimes contributes to why we are not so willing to be unified.
Come on,
we're really battling that. Like, I'm an individual. I don't need this. I don't want that. I will just say this, that our relationship with God is always personal, but it is never individual. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, you're amazing. You're good. You're kind. Thank you, God, for all the many blessings. Thank you, God, that we were able to send the Moldens off and they made it safely to Kansas City. Thank you, God, that we were able to send off the Schmitz to Northwest Arkansas several years ago. And it's always a blessing to have them back. Thank you, God, for all of the people we've been able to send out, Father, over the years. And thank you, God, for all of the dollars we've been able to raise and send as well. And Father God, I pray, God, even for what we've raised for missions, God, that you will multiply those dollars, God. I know that I think it's 2 to 1. Liberian money to U.S., Father. So really, God, whatever we give, Father, it's like twice as much as that for them, God. So we pray, God, that you'll even multiply it more, that will lead to many souls being saved, hearts being touched, Father. Whatever they need, Father, God, may we be able to do that. May the dollars be able to serve them in that way, God. But we also pray, Father, for the dollars we're giving within our region. God, we have a dream, a vision, God, to plant a church in Lincoln, Nebraska, Father. But we also are strengthening the work around the region. And Father, I know you have lots of money. God, it's just, Father, it really, as Tim said, you really don't need our money. It really is an opportunity for us to show our hearts. You test our hearts, God, when we have an opportunity to give. And I pray, God, you'll help us to respond with a heart, Father, a heart of flesh, God. And God, help us to throw off that thing in us, God, that really just, maybe we want to be too American, Father. We're just too individualistic, God. Help us to overcome that and to bring glory to you. As we, God, as we set an example of unity, set an example of you bringing all the nations and the diverse backgrounds and diverse attitudes together. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles here. We're going to jump around a little bit today. We're going to start in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. Pity the person that has no one to help them. I mean, we need each other so desperate. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. This verse, like many in the Bible, it's always calling us together. We need one another. So desperate. We can't do this alone. We've got to embrace community over individualism. You know, King Solomon's words remind us of the power and the necessity of community. God understood this from the beginning. He is one, but Father, Son, Holy Spirit, He is one, but He always moves and works in community. In times of crisis, in times of sickness, in time of stress and frustration and grief and joblessness and heartache and various other trials, it's easy to think that I'm alone or that we're alone. But we're not alone. When it comes to our relationship with the Lord, we're not alone. God wants us to believe that two are better than one. You need community so desperately. Even when it comes to evangelism and offerings and all of these things, showing up the worship service, all of this is about us being in community together. Our small group gatherings, I know they may feel like they're not awesome and they're not exciting, and maybe you feel like your leader is not that dynamic or that exciting, but it is about us being together. That's what it's about. The fellowship is what's addictive. It doesn't matter if your Bible talk leaders can expository the way the, you know, Bill Molden can. It doesn't really matter. It's about being together. Amen. It's about those relationships. It's about the community of believers. But when we think like individuals, when we think that it's only about me and what I want to do, then, well, we can then begin to focus on our differences. And we have many differences, and we begin to overemphasize our differences. We divide ourselves up by male and female and other things, and divide ourselves up by race. And it's not even enough to be black or white. We got to put in, you know, well, you're mixed and you're this or that. We feel all of these ways. But not in God's kingdom. We realize that two are better than one. Amen. And the more different we are, the greater the unity can be. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, I am there in the midst. It's not ever about any one individual. There are many dangers to rugged individualism. And rugged individualism is the American way. It's the Western way, but it's the American way for sure. Rugged individualism leads to focus on self. Focus on self. It puts a heavy emphasis on independence, autonomy, and even achievement. How great am I? How better am I than others? And these qualities, they certainly can be positive, but when they're not balanced with community and compassion, they are dangerous. They lead to self-centeredness. And if they're not tempered, they lead to a lot of tension and conflict. Lack of empathy is also a result of rugged individualism. When we prioritize our own needs, okay, and our desires above everything else, we become less empathetic toward others because we can't be empathetic when we're only thinking about ourselves. We can't be very empathic when we're only focused on what I need, what I don't have, what I missed, who hurt me, who didn't do this for me, or what I didn't get in life. It sort of makes us lack, it makes us less empathic, but also leads to isolation. Rugged individualism leads to isolation. It reinforces this ideal of, I got to do it myself. It's only up to me all the time. So I can't even take feedback from either. I have to withdraw. And when we become more isolated, that's when we get into this stinking thinking. Are you with me?
Yeah. Yeah, come on.
We start getting some funky thoughts in our head. You know, it's interesting. During COVID, there was sort of a mental health crisis, they say. Well, imagine that. We were not meant to be alone. When God said it wasn't good for man to be alone, he wasn't just talking about marriage. It's just not good for any of us to be alone. Amen. Isolation is always a bad thing. And the more you feel yourself isolated, if you feel yourself, I'm in a room of people, but I still feel alone. It's because you feel isolated. And there's something you can do about that. Don't put the burden only on everyone else in the group. Amen. But I tell you, rugged individualism leads to a lot of conflict and a ton of division. When everyone pursues their own interests without regard for others, it can only lead to conflict and division within communities. Cooperation, compromise, they become difficult. In fact, we get to the point where we sort of begin to prioritize. In fact, we come to church together, but we're just sort of separate. We have attitudes of feelings toward others, and we don't ever deal with it. We don't ever talk about it. Rugged individualism leads to a lot of conflict and a lot of tension. But here's the big one: materialism and consumerism. Individualism leads to consumerism. It's a culture of my needs first. And boy, don't we do good in America capitalizing on consumerism. All we do, we consume. We have things that we don't even need. We have so much stuff, we have to get a storage for the stuff we don't even need. All of us have, not all of us, some of us have basement storage stuff. Then we got to get a storage area for the stuff we don't even need. And it's in there for so long, you open up going, I forgot I had this. I actually bought 3-4 more of them because I can't find them. This is what rugged individualism leads to. But the Bible calls us to do nothing out of selfish ambition. Philippians 2:3-4. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, no one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Amen. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. This is the community that we're part of. We're in the community where no one is seeking their own good, but we're looking for the good of others. Galatians 5:13 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. We're all free. Don't use your freedom as a, hey, I'm free. I can do what I want to do. No one can tell me what to do. I'm my own person. I've made myself, and I'll go when I feel like it, not go when I don't want to go, and I'll show up, and no one will tell me any different. I'll just, if I'm at church, you're blessed to see me. If I'm not there, then that's your problem. I may or may not come to midweek. Why don't you do it on a different night? Why don't you arrange things around me? Why can't the family group meet on this time and not that time? Why can't more things just be accommodate me? I don't need to change my schedule. The church needs to change their schedule. These are the things I thought.
Come on, Ben.
But no one should look to their own needs. Aren't we that community where we're that radical minority that we love one another? That maybe it doesn't seem like it's going to be great, but I show up and I just give a brother or a sister a hug. And I engage in a conversation. I get to know someone that I never knew before. Where I come because I'm part of the body of believers.
Amen.
I'm all in. You know, Proverbs 18:1 warns us. It says an unfriendly person pursues selfish ends and against all sound judgment starts quarrels. That proverb is so powerful. I mean, we become a little bit less friendly the more selfish we become. The more selfish we are, the less friendly we become. Oh, we can kind of put on a front and smile, but eventually someone pokes you the wrong way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All
right. And we can all smile and come and show up and, you know, for maybe an hour and a half, 90 minutes, we can kind of put on the front. Hey, it's good to see you too. But boy, let someone poke you the wrong way. You're like, hey. It happens all the time, right? You'll find yourself driving along the highway and you just sort of lose your Christianity for a few minutes. But I mean, the more selfish we become, the more unfriendly we become.
Come on, Ben.
I mean, God is calling us out of rugged individualism constantly. We cannot be so consumed with being Americans that we forget that we're in the kingdom of God. Let's not isolate ourselves and prioritize our own needs above the body of believers. Because we miss out on the blessing of unity. The thing that Jesus prayed for, I pray that they will be unified. He prayed for unity, you know. He prayed for unity. You know why? Because he knew how difficult unity is. He knew this whole all nations thing, all people coming together, it's going to be tough. It was tough to keep the Israelites together. One nation, when we bring them all together, it will get difficult. And so Jesus led us in, amen. And now he says, I pray for you to be unified. Individualism leads to selfishness. Selfishness, it's not going to build our kingdom. It's not the mission that we're on for Jesus, amen. But John 15:15, this is Jesus' heart. He says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You know, Jesus invites us into personal, intimate relationship with him. This relationship is not just about receiving, okay? It's about participating with Jesus in his mission, amen? Amen. And when we when we truly understand the depth of his love and what he was inviting us to, the closest he wants with us, he says, I call you friends. And for Jesus, he goes, I accept you with all your weaknesses and flaws. I accept everything about you that's not like me. I still love you and you're not perfect, but I still want you to be my friends. I'm pretty sure Jesus could show up at our worship service and go, singing's okay today. Bible talk's okay. Leader was a little off. Group was a little funky. But he still says, but you're friends.
Amen.
I want to be in close relationship with you. Our natural relationship, our natural response to that needs to be, I'm all in, Jesus.
Amen.
I want to be close. But Jesus doesn't just say it then. Jesus knows that we'll get off course and we will blow it. And so in Revelation 3:20, he always is inviting us back. And so no matter where you are, he says, here I am. Even today, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with you. And you can be with me. Even after you've blown it, even if you messed up, even if you become kind of a selfish person, an unfriendly person, someone that thinks more about yourself than you do the community. Jesus says, you know what? Here, I am still here. I still want to be close to you. I still want to draw near to you. It's not over for you. There's hope for you. I want to draw near to you. And when he says draw near to you, he wants us near to one another as well. Amen.
Amen.
Because Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 encourages us. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let's not give up meeting together. As some are in the habit of doing, it becomes a habit, right? It's just habitual. But encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Encourage one another. Encourage one another. You know, you got to be close to one another to encourage one another. You got to actually kind of have a conversation with one another occasionally to encourage one another. We got to be in proximity to one another to encourage one another. But encourage one another.
Amen.
Come on. Don't get in the habit of not meeting together. Don't get in the habit of not sharing your faith. Don't get in the habit of not reading your Bible. Don't get in the habit of not praying. Don't get in the habit of not giving. Don't get in these bad habits. And for some of us, we know better. Amen. For some of us, if you've been like me around for 30-some years, I know better.
Yeah.
Encourage one another. Church, let's not give up meeting together.
Yeah.
Let's continue to support and encourage one another. Let's continue to build these deep personal relationships with Jesus, but with one another as well. Amen.
Amen.
How can you love the one you've not seen if you can't love your brother or sister?
Say that, Ben.
Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens. And this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We share one another's burden. That's what makes us stronger. We support one another. We hang tight in community. And we're all about being one. Whether, no matter what we're doing, whether we're giving, whether we're evangelizing, whether we're discipling one another, we are His body, and we're doing it all together.
Yeah.
So let's move beyond any kind of rugged individualism that may have crept into our hearts. Let's embrace that personal relationship with Jesus and these personal relationships we get with other humans. Amen.
Amen.
Christianity. It is always personal. Always. But it's never individual. We're in this thing together. Amen.
Amen.
God bless.